This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Do you want to hear a fun fig story?
Maybe when you're done with the one in your mouth.
No. No, fun fact. For all of you peeps out there who have been to the Nerd Melt, aka my hang, I don't know who this character is that I'm being right now.
I don't know, but go for it.
You keep cocking your head like, what are you doing?
I don't know what's going on. No. So we're just going to...
At the Nerd Melt, they have a giant fig tree in the back in the alley.
Do they really?
It's huge, and everyone hates it because the figs, when they get ripe, they fall off, and fig
people
is sticky.
Step on them. And
no, it's sticky on your car because you park under it.
Oh.
It's like overtaking the three parking spaces. I'm really terrified they're going to cut it back because here's the thing. This is an explicit episode. If there's a children in the car, cover their ears. The best fucking figs I've ever had in my life.
Really?
They're so good. And everyone thinks I'm crazy for eating them because it's in the city. And yeah, there's a homeless guy who sometimes pees in that area. But like, he doesn't pee on the figs.
But he maybe on like the roots. And so is that part
of... But I mean, it's a filtration system. and because, yeah, maybe there are rats that live in the area. But again, there are rats in farms and they use recycled water on farms. So none of this is a good argument at all.
But I'm glad that you have a regular source of fig in your life.
I know. It's not regular because it's timely. And guys, we're like weeks out from Fig Festival. Fig Festival is something that I celebrate alone at the moment.
I was like, is that a thing?
The Fig Festival. I'm going to make this a thing. But it's literally, last year I would just show up. I have a straw hat I keep in my car because I'm cool. And I would just fill it with figs and then take it to work. And eat them.
Oh my god!
No, it's so good. I'm weird. But these figs are amazing. They look butter.
2, 3, 4. Podcast. We're making a podcast about 30 Rock. Podcast. We're making a podcast about 30 Rock. We're calling it Talk 30 to Me. It is great.
Hey everyone, it's Kelsey.
Aunt Kimmy.
And this is Talk 30 Rock to Me.
Ooh, I liked how you dragged out Talk 30 Rock to Me.
To me, right to me.
It's just to Kelsey. When we're talking me, it's not like the royal me, it's Kelsey.
It's just me. This whole episode is just to me.
I've been watching the characters. Have you seen John Early's The Characters?
No.
He does like this head thing in it, and I've been doing it because I just watched it.
That was like when I picked up Dan Harmon's stutter.
Oh, that was a weird thing.
It was like such an, like, and it was funny because Michelle had noticed it on me, and I was like, oh, I am doing that. That is very odd, but...
Also, fun fact, former guest of the show, Will Blanchard, is obsessed with Rick and Morty right now. And keeps, I didn't check the text he sent me. He's going to be hurt. Now there's a record of me feeling the guilt. I have to listen to it. But he's really into Rick and Morty and Dan Harmon, so he might have the stutter soon, too.
Oh, gosh. I was just talking with friends the other night. We went to this doesn't matter. We had a Japanese barbecue place and we were having a conversation. Dan Harmon came up because that comes up when you're my friend.
Doesn't Dan Harmon come up in all of your conversations, audience? It's always for us.
I was something like, I want to like Rick and Morty, but I can't remember if I've had this conversation with Will or not. Like, there's nothing about cartoons that excite me unless it's a Disney movie. Like, I tried watching Bob's Burgers and I got through the second episode and I was like, eh. Like, Simpsons and Everett Family. Like, cartoons just have never appealed to me. And so Rick and Morty, like, as much as I want to like it because Dan Harmon, like, I can't.
Have you tried to watch it?
No. Like, because there's the only thing appealing about it is that it's Dan Harmon. And I say this with love, kind of. When Justin Roiland's a guest on Harmontown, I don't love it. And so I don't think that, no, I think he's a great guy, but I don't think it's going to be for me.
There's a chance you'd like it more than you think.
Really?
I could see it going either way. I really could. And this is me saying it very honestly, you should watch it.
Right.
Oh my God. This is me saying, I could see you being like, yep, nope, not for me. But I could also see you liking it more than you thought because it's not like a typical cartoon. And there's some shows that are just cartoons and you're like, meh. But there are some shows, the cartooniness lets it do things a normal show. Like, honestly, I've not watched Simpsons, so I can't speak to it. But Bob's Burgers, it's a great animated show, but they're not like using the freedom animation offers do crazy things the way they do in like Adventure Time.
But
wouldn't like Adventure Time though.
I don't like sci-fi and fantasy in general because I don't like imagination, I guess. Maybe that's
you don't like imagining things.
No,
I mean, look, you might not like it, but I think there's a chance that humor is so strong.
It's kind of like boy humor.
I mean, I watch it religiously.
Yeah, but in general, I don't find boy humor funny.
This is a really gendered conversation.
Yeah, you know, two women. Yeah. I just tend, so I'm not, I just like, if somebody were like, come on over, we're gonna watch Rick and Morty, I'd be like, no. Like there's nothing. I'm like, I will have to be in a very weird mood to finally sit down and watch it.
I want to make an infographic where it's like, will Kelsey watch it? And I want it to be, and then at the end of the list of things Kelsey won't even have this conversation about, and it's Rick and Morty and Seinfeld.
Yeah, I knew you were going to put those. That's such a weird, two weird shows to put together on the same.
I think they belong together because they're both comedic genius. Okay. I'm not even joking. I think Rick and Morty is going to go down. People, I'm saying it here. You heard it here, folks. It's going down in history as some of the great sci-fi with like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I know, again, this isn't selling it because you don't like sci-fi. Yeah. The comedy is really strong, which is the same with Hitchhikers. Yeah. But it is just the most delightful show. And I actually went to I give that shout out to my friend RG with her like dope Rick and Morty party I went to the other week. A bunch of Christian kids watching a show that's a super atheist existentialist experience of the universe, and all of us loving it. It was great.
Good.
It was the best thing ever. So
I'm glad you, like, if certain people, if somebody were like, should I watch Rick and Morty, I'd be like, you probably would. Like, I've never even seen it, and there's certain people that I'm like, I'm pretty sure you probably would like it, just knowing Dan Harmon. And like, if a certain friend were to ask about it.
Yeah. But you know what isn't animated?
30 Rock.
Yeah, you knew where I was going with that.
Pull it back together. We got there. Welcome to Talk Rick and Morty to me.
Talk Rick and Morty to me. That'd be a terrible name. It's just called Get Schwifty is what the podcast would be called. That's funny for all my Rick and Morty heads out there. Like, oh, Kelsey doesn't know what I'm talking about. Get what?
All right.
But real quick, before we get into this, I just want to ask everyone listening, if you haven't already, please rate, review, and subscribe. Not in that order. I was going to say subscribe first and I got lost. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. If you get the chance, rate and review. It's how this podcast gets more attention from iTunes, or there's something with like math. I don't fully understand the algorithm. They don't explain it to us, but it helps us out.
Yep.
And also, thank you all for the lovely tweets through the week that we got that I didn't read yet, but I'm regretting going into this, but I know you are all lovely.
Quote one, Kimmy.
I know, damn it, what did I do? This is why I'm always like, Kelsey, can you do the intro? Because I can't do it, because I do this and now no one listens to this podcast anymore. No,
we just got a review this week from one of our listeners in Australia. And what? I don't actually know. I know her username is MCP, I think, and that was very sweet.
Oh my gosh.
We have a listener in Australia.
That like is so strange. Yeah. Thank you. I just... No, I'm not going to make any of these jokes that I wanted to make, but that just brings me joy because Australia is a wonderful place. So thank you for spending your time. Also, please go on to, I'm going to see if I can do boardwalkaudio.com and hit support our artists. No.
Slash talk 30 rock to me
and then click support our artists.
Yep.
And that helps us out. Buy things on Amazon that way.
Yep.
Kelsey, we've been doing this for so long and I cannot figure this out.
It's okay. I appreciate you trying to be the one to make this plug. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping it adds comedy. Like, this is just me trying to be funny.
I just like zoom through it as fast as possible and you're like, no, let's try. And
we're going to really wobble through this for a while.
You know, and it is, this is going to come out afterwards, but like, I'm pretty sure Prime Day is coming up. And so it would have been a great time.
It's Amazon's thing. Black Friday, right?
Yep, basically. But I'm pretty sure that's actually on this two. I think that's on 3/11, which I'm 99% positive. Oh no, I think our anniversary is 3/12. Not 3/11, 7/11 or 7/12 is the anniversary of our podcast. So
it was sometime this week. I can't believe it's coming.
Yep.
Wow, Kelsey, we've been talking to these mics for a year.
A long
time. They must smell really bad.
Should probably get new ones.
We made the same joke.
Probably. Yep. Yep.
That's all my stuff I had to say.
I like it. I think let's actually talk 30 Rock now.
Do you want to go 30/30? 30/30. 30/30. 30/30. 30/30.
So my 30/30 this week is I finished watching through all of Undercover Boss.
Man, you're like on a roll.
Dang.
Do you just understand Jack Donaghy so much more? And do you wish they had done like a weird episode where Jack was on Undercover Boss?
100%.
I mean, they kind of did when he was being Kenneth. Ride me. I'll be your bottom, Kenneth. Ride me hard.
Right. Oh, gosh. Well, and I got through all of Undercover Boss that's on Hulu. And now I don't know where to watch the last two seasons that I really went to, because one of them is one of the competitors, like my industry competitor. And I wanted to see what happened. But it's fine. But so I finished that, and then I was trying to figure out what I was going to watch next, which I ended up watching all of Riverdale. Oh my soul, I have a lot of feelings about that.
People really like Riverdale. I haven't watched it yet because I'm trying to watch Twin Peaks, and I'm not watching Twin Peaks because I'm watching It's Always Sunny.
My biggest frustration, this is not my 30/30 yet, I'm so sorry, but
no,
I have a microphone.
I'm into this. I have a microphone. I will discuss Riverdale.
My biggest frustration, I post this on Facebook. They put all of the redheads in red, and the redhead girl has red lipstick on, and it drives me absolutely.
A redhead can wear red.
No.
I won't argue with
you. You are not a redhead. You are not allowed to have a stance. I'm not allowed to say this. We can't wear red. We can't wear orange. It drives me absolutely crazy. And
didn't you see Jessica Chastain when she wore red at the Oscars, though, and it looked amazing?
No. Redheads do not look good in red. I am having this stance right here.
You're only allowed to say this because you're a redhead.
Yes, exactly. And it just, it bothers me to my core. And it's every single thing she's wearing red. They finally put Cheryl Blossom in a turquoise dress once. And I was so excited. And she was straight back into red. And it drove me crazy. But finished Riverdale, finished Undercover Boss. And then I was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to watch an old episode of Key and Peele, because why not? And I was watching an episode and Jack McBrayer is in it.
He's so funny. That makes sense.
It was adorable. He was in an episode where they were pitting two. It was in the Civil War. It was like right at the end of it. And they were like putting two slaves against each other, like to the death sort of a thing. And so it was like,
whenever one has to describe a Key and Peele sketch, it always sounds so inappropriate.
Oh,
I'm like, it's Key and Peele. They do it.
They do what they need to. But Jack McBrayer was one of the slave owners and was betting. I don't know whether it was Key or Peele who was his slave, basically. But he was just egging them on to fight each other and kill each other to the death. And it was a funny little Key and Peele sketch. And Jack McBrayer was in it. And it was funny because I was listening to it and I heard Jack McBrayer's voice sooner than I saw it was actually him. And I just got really excited.
What is that sweet dulcet southern voice I hear?
Right.
It's just Jack McBrayer.
It was adorable.
I bet it was adorable.
Yeah.
No, it's that sounds really fun. Key and Peele are the best. That's
yeah,
all I have to
I'll
say.
I'll post the link to it.
About that.
Finished.
That's a good 30-30.
That is my 30-30.
That's a really good one. Yeah. Because it involves Jack McBrayer.
And we love him.
Yeah, he's cool. So great. He's like on Bob's Burgers all the time. That's what I was thinking.
I wouldn't know.
Can I just make a blanket thing? We're recording this during the heat wave, and so there's going to be weird pauses where I just sweat. I hope everyone's okay with it. It's so hot out. It's just like I can't think. I'm like sitting in like a squishy chair, and I just feel so gross. And we have air conditioning on, I think. Did I turn the air conditioning on, Kelsey?
I thought so.
Let's make sure.
Okay, so the episode that we're going to talk about today is season 3, episode 9, Retreat to Move Forward. The air conditioning was not on. Kimmy has now turned it on, so we're not in this. There it goes, that lovely hum. Air date was January 22nd, 2009. Writer was Tammy Sagar. And did you notice
who loved that it was Tammy Sagar, and then I loved who directed this.
So director was Mr. Steve Buscemi.
I was so excited about that.
I didn't know he directed any 30 Rock episodes. I had no idea.
I think he directed a couple. I'm not 100% sure about that.
This is definitely his first one that he's done, though.
Oh, for sure. I was surprised he didn't show up in it, that he didn't write himself a little bit. Or not, he wouldn't write, but that he wouldn't have been like, guys, I'm a...
Like, let me just walk through. Let me...
Hey, fellow children.
I
love
it. That
bit is so good.
I forgot to write my little recap of this, but...
Let's see if you can just wing it, Kelsey. I believe in you.
So in today's episode, we are learning more about the Janet Jimplin, Ginny Jompler storyline. And the writers
look how
take
far they get from the name.
I
just
love
get
it.
So far from the actual name.
The writers take advantage of Jenna's naivete when it comes to the internet.
And that her method acting is terrible.
Oh, her method acting. Oh, my soul. And... Oh, what's happening with a Sling Billy? Nope. And then Jack, I think the other main thing is just that Jack is going to his corporate retreat and invites Liz to come with him because he's nervous of making an appearance and he needs his camp buddy there.
He needs his camp buddy, yeah. And he's been a little insecure ever since the gay bomb.
Right. Oh, and then the other thing that's happening here is that Tracy might have diabetes, and so they're trying to get Tracy to eat healthy.
It's such a weird storyline because it's super serious and it's so fun. It's just like the most throwaway storyline of this
so
episode.
Fantastic. I love it.
They do really strange things with it.
It's great. Do you want to start with that storyline?
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Kenneth is an idiot that thinks the Hill Witch, and that's like the whole thing, is they're all like, Kenneth, you fool. Yeah. And then weirdly it works out, but this one's great. I love him with Dr. Spichemin. There's like a joke where there's like a turn. Oh, no. I love that Tracy only looks sad after he finds out he can't have a wheel foot like Rosie because he'll have to be registered in the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Okay, so yeah. So Tracy's getting his checkup by Dr. Spichemin, and Dr. Spichemin is looking at his chart and he goes,
I don't know how to say this.
D-A-butties? diabetes, which they do a lot in 30 Rock of bringing Tracy Morgan's real life to the character. And Tracy Morgan had, just a lot like with between alcohol, like a lot of stuff. But so because Tracy Morgan has diabetes.
That's the thing. I knew the other stuff, but I didn't know he has diabetes.
Yeah, he was diagnosed in 1996.
Dang.
And then there's the joke about you might lose a foot. It is serious. And he's like, can I get a foot like Rosie from the Jetsons? He's like, well, you would have to register as a motor vehicle.
And that's when Tracy looks so sad.
Yes. I love it. It's just kind of adorable. But so Tracy is legitimately concerned about not Tracy. Kenneth is concerned about Tracy and his diabetes and tries to get him to trick him into eating healthy by saying the hill which will come by this will happen and this will happen and my page desk will be turned sideways.
I just really dig, first of all, of course Kenneth always cares, which is very sweet. Yes. But then there was that like weird like scene where they're all with discussing Tufer? the African-American community's experience of diabetes.
Yeah,
which was a pretty funny scene and nothing I had ever heard of before the show, that there was any relationship between the diabetes and the African-American community.
I knew that. Well, and I don't know why that's just, but I didn't know, obviously, his whole little, it stirred things up after the Civil War to keep former slaves sluggish and docile. And then Trace said, yeah, I've heard that from Yusuf Jackson or whatever. And and then that most African-Americans don't know that diabetes is actually caused by sleeping on your back.
Oh, too so close. I really liked the joke. He was like, nah, that's just that's a white myth, like Larry Bird or Colorado.
Yeah, I know.
which is so funny to me.
Oh, it's, I can never tell with, well, I can sometimes tell with Tufer, like, are you just being, I'm from Harvard and I'm going to try and sound intelligent, or if you legitimately believe certain things.
Yeah, I don't know. Tufer,
he can pull the straight man sometimes really easily.
He does a really great job with the straight man. I can't fully figure out what he's doing all the time. Which is fun because he's such a fun character to play jokes because he's so many things, right? So they use him really well. That's just a really great character. But I also really don't have a real finger on who, like, we all have a real finger. This is who Frank is, right?
Right.
And we get a lot more Frank character development and we get a real sense of who Lutz is. But honestly, I don't always know who Toof is outside of these things, which is Harvard and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So he's an interesting character. He does such a good job though. And he's very funny.
Right.
That's how I feel.
No, I like it. I wrote on here, I can't remember when Tracy says this, but he goes, N-O-E, no, E.
It's
his response to something.
Weird. That's almost like a comment. Okay, everyone just fast forward this because this probably isn't. It's almost like a commentary on joke structure itself because they're like, he can't just say something.
Yeah.
So he has to say something weird. And then it doesn't make any sense outside. Like the joke that's weird doesn't make sense. Isn't even going to make sense as a joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, Tracy always has to say something weird, so they can't have him say no. He has to say N-O-E. Oh, Tracy. Oh, it's a joke about Tracy. He's an idiot. And then he says, no, E. It's like, the joke doesn't even work. Like, it's just such a weird joke. And I really wish I knew who wrote it so I could ask them so many questions about it. It's fascinating to me. What else did this happen? I love the line that Kenneth says. He's like, Mr. Morgan, Mr. Jordan. Oh, Lord. Mr. Jordan, I've seen too many friends die of illness and go-kart accidents. Or is it diabetes and go-kart accidents?
What does he say? Maybe he does say diabetes. I can't remember what he said.
It's so funny. And go-kart accidents.
It's so good. And then this kind of combines later with Jenna's storyline for a little bit. But at the very end there, my favorite is just at the ending when Kenneth is really trying to scare Tracy and he's got the lights off and the flashlight and he's like, wow, trying to be the hill witch. And then Jenna comes running past her, their hair half done. And she screams, look at me. I'm a monster. That's like an Arrested Development reference.
It is an Arrested Development. I hadn't put that together. Oh my gosh. She's Buster Bluthing it.
And then they just start shoving all the vegetables in their mouth to make her go away. And I think it's really funny.
It's really, really funny. No, that they both, that Kenneth buys into his own delusion he's been craving for Tracy. But Kenneth's like, all I can do is eat these vegetables to protect him and to protect myself. Like, he just gives in so quickly. But it's just that's such a serious story, like diabetes and like understanding. And it's just such a weirdly throwaway storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. But it becomes so much more about Kenneth's idiotic like ways of trying to convince people and his like naivete on how people experience the world and how to scare them than it is like Tracy has diabetes. How do we deal with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like that was something that was kind of, I feel like there was a lot more there. That's all. It's my critique of the day. Felt like there was more there. They could have actually explored that more. But I also really like that Kenneth's an idiot and believes in the Hill Witch. and that his scary noises, like the noises he makes are so idiotic.
I love, he makes a great, in a later episode, he makes a really great noise that I'll talk about later, but it's kind of adorable.
I can't think of what this would be other than
no, he's so cute.
I can't do his that's my impression of him as a hill witch, and it's terrible.
Sound kind of like a dying duck or something.
That's what I was going for. Oh my god. Well done.
Okay, so the next story we can talk about is this Janice Jomplin, Janie Jomp. For legal reasons.
Jorp.
So Jenna has decided that she is going to go with the method what is it called? The
method acting.
Thank you. I'm forgetting a word.
Stanislavski method.
Method acting. And she is going to become Janet. I can't remember the real name. Right? What's the real name?
Janet Joplin. Oh no. It's like if you really think that it's Kevin Grisham now. You know,
Exactly.
This storyline is really fun just because of what's going on right now with Daniel Day-Lewis. Have you been hearing all this stuff?
No.
Daniel Day-Lewis has announced his retirement after this last film he's doing with Paul Thomas Anderson.
Really?
But here's what's interesting. So as we all know, but in case someone doesn't know, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis is the great actor of our time. Mm-hmm. He's pretty much the proof, because the Stanislavski, like the method, was really made big by like Marlon Brando and James Dean, right? It's this concept of like being so into character and human and not stylized, you know, almost to a point where it became stylized with James Dean, but that's another conversation. And so it was this really big thing in the 50s and 60s. And then I think we get actors who did it, you know, you get actor studio people, but then it kind of, I don't know, I think it was less in the conversation. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but Daniel Day-Lewis is like the perfect example of how it can be done perfectly, right? He is someone who's so dedicated. They call him Mr. President on the set of Lincoln.
Okay.
Like the stuff, I the stuff he did for Gangs in New York is supposed to be crazy. I can't even think of anything. It's supposed to be crazy.
Interesting.
I'm trying to remember. I can't think of any other stories than the Mr. Lincoln, but just the stories I've heard from set of Daniel Day-Lewis. Okay. Because he gets so into character, which is a lot what Jenna's doing.
Yeah.
What's really interesting is he's doing this new Paul Thomas Anderson movie. Thank the Lord him and Paul Thomas Anderson getting back together, by the way. It's the best thing that could happen
to
us.
What do they do together?
There Will Be Blood, which is one of the greatest American films ever made.
Okay.
Hands down. Fight me on this, guys. Fight me. But Daniel Day-Lewis has announced he's retiring after this.
Okay.
What's really interesting, this movie they're making is about the fashion scene in the 1960s. And the character or the person he's really based on was a very... It's either based on or he is playing. I'm not sure which. Was an incredibly successful fashion designer who suddenly just out of the blue retired in his 60s and never returned to his work.
And that's Daniel Day-Lewis
is 61. No. So, but I think here's my theory.
He like got the script and he's like, this is a great idea.
Here's the thing. I think it's actually even less... because Daniel Day-Lewis is also a man who took 5 years to cobble shoes in Europe. Like he's just a man who follows these incredibly interesting creative whims. I just love him so much.
Interesting.
But this is my theory. I genuinely believe that he actually is going to retire. I think he is so in character and so method right now that he made this choice almost... Him and this character become kind of one person. And so his life choice and this character life choices, I think, kind of melded into this weird thing where he's retiring. Now, he could be permanently retired. And Godspeed, he has given us enough.
Well, then
like,
can someone change
good.
The ending of the movie?
I mean, no, it was a real life occurrence, Kelsey.
So, well, sometimes they do like alternate endings.
You have to. You're not appreciating the craft, Kelsey. All I'm saying is I find it really interesting that his life choice and this person he's playing's life choice align when he's so method. And I'm also finding it interesting because I think there's a very good chance in 5 years we'll have Daniel Day-Lewis again.
Interesting.
After he's left this character behind. I don't know. But maybe he doesn't leave his characters behind. Maybe they're all inside of him.
Oh,
and my favorite one inside of him would be Natty Bum Bum.
Like Split?
Just like Split. Just like Split. But hopefully he's just pretty much living in his last of the Mohican role because that's my favorite one.
Got it. All right.
Anyway, that's my 10-minute rant about Daniel Day-Lewis.
But
he's the example we have of method acting, and that's kind of what they're riffing on with her here. That she's getting so into character that she's gonna do it. She's going to eat this cat.
Oh, gosh.
I like how she actually bites the cat.
That's I know. And that's what Frank was like. Oh, okay. So Jenna walks in saying, I am going to do the method acting. The last thing you want to say to Jenna, say it now. And they all start yelling things at her. And then she's like, hold up, you're saying this
to Janet. Your hands are weird.
Yeah. And then as she's leaving, Frank goes, oh, just so you know, Jenna, they're still finding out things about Janet Joplin. That's her real name, right?
Janet Joplin.
Janet Joplin.
Janie Jorp is her
JJ.
Real name.
We're going to call her JJ because
no,
I can't remember.
No, because then she's going to turn into Abrams.
Oh, interesting. They're finding out things about her all the time and everybody can add these things to Wikipedia. And she's like, thanks. I'm going to check that out. And she leaves and they instantly go back and... I just love that she speed walked everywhere and was afraid of toilets, and that instantly Toofer is like, yes, I have heard that too, and they're just adding things to the Wikipedia article.
Did you see how old that Wikipedia page looked?
Right,
it was so funny.
I know,
it was so I mean, obviously it was just like a mock-up thing that they did for the show, but still, it killed me.
It's so good though.
Janet Jorp. Yep. And then just the fact that she didn't realize it after the Frank schlong.
Yes, with cherry juice, buttermilk, and tequila, which I thought about, like, can I, I'm like, I don't want to bring that, never mind. No, I have to drive home.
Buttermilk is weird.
Yeah,
I'm not into buttermilk. It works
cherry juice and tequila,
that's not too bad.
It's almost like a Shirley Temple, but like,
but milky,
not with the buttermilk. With tequila and cherry juice?
Yeah.
Milky.
But if you had the buttermilk.
Oh, yeah. I was minus the buttermilk.
That's only thing you're talking
about.
Like,
it's like a Shirley Temple and gross. Oh, we have three different Frank hats in this episode.
I know. We get so much Frank in this episode. It's the best.
We have Pinball Mechanic.
What a great job he would be at that.
We have.
That didn't make sense. That sentence didn't really work. But he would be such a good pinball mechanic.
We have Phase 3. And.
What was Phase 2?
Right? He's just so advanced. He just jumps straight
to
Phase 3.
It's like a lost joke. I don't know.
And then he totally does. And then he is feeling it. He also wears a shirt in the beginning that says WW blank D. And the blank is a Freddy Krueger mask. So what would Freddy Krueger do? And Jenna at one point is wearing a shirt that just says, I suck.
Oh, because
when she's eating the cat, that's what it says.
Because I bet they were like, the Janet Joplin's favorite shirt was an I suck shirt.
Probably.
Fun fact, though, I just found out that the hotel where Janet Joplin accidentally killed herself is not far from here.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like.
We should have recorded this on location.
We should have. We could get in the car right now and drive, and we would get there in the 20 minutes we have left.
How dark would that be?
I know. It's on. I learned it. You can actually rent the room still.
Oh, nope.
Yeah, but people sign the bathroom. People like, all right, how she meant to them and stuff.
Oh, that's dark.
It's hard to be a rock star, Kelsey.
I wouldn't know. I'm getting there, but I wouldn't know.
Almost there, living that life.
But so the thing that's just interesting about the storyline is, so it ends with Frank watching Jenna being about ready to eat the cat, and he's like, no, 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 no. And then this thing happens between Jenna and Frank that... what's interesting to me is that he's like, this is so like that he's like that you're damaged goods, and he's and like it like it's totally turning him on. Like, Jenna has always been damaged goods in this show. I feel like
why is he like, oh, now I see.
Yeah, I couldn't understand like why this was the tipping point.
Because she was yelling at him.
Yeah, and maybe because Frank was yelling at her too. Because I feel like that's kind of been a thing before too, where a powerful man is what does it for Jenna or something.
Well, this one he's like, you are gonna win the Oscar. Yeah. Immediately she's cool. In. Also, their kissing was so gross.
Gross. No.
And he was really. I mean, she was doing all right. He was just all mouth. It was so awful to watch. I was very impressed by it comedically.
So gross.
I just still can't imagine having to film scenes and just like be like, all right, make out, but weirder.
Your tongue in my mouth. Like,
weirder. It's just the worst.
It
would be absolutely the worst.
It's
but
not okay.
I just love all the things that were like the way she's walking herself and everything. Her knees bent the right way.
I know.
Such an idiot. But then the story even goes further.
Yeah. So then the next day, Jenna shows up and is like, oh my gosh, Frank, like, you can't tell anybody last night. And she gets so hurt and confused that Frank is saying the same thing, like, you can't tell anybody. And she's like, hold up, like, that was the greatest night of your life. And Frank really quickly is like,
I'm doing this for hot women everywhere.
Yeah. And but Frank is like, yeah, like, he knows better than to fight with her. And he's just like, yeah, you're right, like, but you're not gonna tell anybody either. She's like, no, you tell. Not like she pulls a Yoda on him. But it ends up, so then she walks up to Frank talking to the writers, and he's like, you will never believe what happened to last night. It's the craziest thing. And she's like, oh my gosh, she's going to tell. And he talks about the secret skate park in Grand Theft Auto 4, which is the real thing.
What is the secret skate park?
Oh, I mean, it's just, that is a thing that you can find your way to in Grand
Theft Auto. What's so great about it, though?
It's a secret. You have to, like, find your way there.
I don't understand. I mean, look, Grand Theft Auto is really fun because everyone gets to get out their demons or whatever, but I just don't understand why a skate park would be super exciting to find, other than, like, oh, that was a secret. Now I'm at a skate park in a car.
I'm pretty sure you probably get to get out and play on, like, you're not just in a car the whole time you're playing Grand Theft Auto.
Oh.
You, like, get out and have interactions and shoot people, like...
I mean, I know that. Okay, I've just driven over people when I play Grand Theft Auto.
I can't even pretend that, like, I didn't know about that before 4 years ago when I was, like, watching my friend play. But the most exciting part for me watching him play was that there is an app you can download, because in the game, you have a dog, and the dog's name was Chip. And you could download the app, and on the app, you could change the color of the collar, and it would change on the game. That's, and so I would, like, change it at home and be like, oh, like, Chip has a pink collar like Sousa now, and then I, like,
literally
it
all
it.
You could do.
No, you could do other things, a couple of other things, like one of the other things
that would,
which,
be like the worst usage of an app ever.
No, it was cool. And then one of the other things you could do is you could change, I don't even know that John ever realized we did this, you could change the what the license plate says on your car. And so we had changed it to say something so when he would get on the next time, but I don't think he ever noticed, so surprise, John. But it's just, you're part of the time you're literally like, a house blew up and you're like fighting with them, you have to jump on a helicopter. Like, there's all these different things you do in GTA that I didn't know you could do before then.
Huh. But I so just thought this- you hit hookers with cars.
Well, that's part of it. But then it ends with, so everybody has now found out that because Jenna gets mad that is the exciting thing he's talking about, and she yells out, "I slutted it up on this dirt bag."
Everyone's face, Sue's face in particular, yeah, is my favorite. Fun fact, Sue is wearing a Icelandic style sweater.
Oh.
Where they have, I mean, I think it is Icelandic, where they have that pattern in a circle around the neck.
All right.
I think that's Icelandic. You know why I know? I've been to Iceland.
You went
to
Iceland.
Guys, I'm really cool.
So I have cool. not been there.
You're missing out on a lot of sweaters. Am I
like
selling
tank tops.
It? Am I selling it? You don't like tank tops when you're in Iceland. It's very cold.
Fair enough. And then it ends with Jenna getting her hair done. Katie is doing her hair, and she's getting, you shouldn't have done that with my Frankie.
There was something so funny of having the lovely cleaning lady come out too. And
Eusebia.
Be so upset. Eusebia, that's her name. What a great name. I didn't know that was a real name, and I love
right?
it. It's
well,
so
and Frank is like, Katie, Eusebia. And he's trying to, like, defend himself because he's got a lot of irons in the fire around here. And
just him between those two women, like, hold on.
So funny. Frank clearly, he has a type for the old, with Eusebia there, like, oh, he likes, like, the older woman.
He likes
we'll learn why later.
Ooh, I didn't think about that. He does like him a little older.
Yep.
Interesting. Frank's so weird.
So weird. So let me get the final storyline.
The real one. The retreat to move forward.
Dun, dun, dun.
I love this. It's
so,
it's so
okay,
funny.
So did you ever go to camp like when you were younger? Like, did you relate it all to the camp friends
we
thing?
Went to camp together.
Okay, so I've had this conversation with a lot of people
this
recently.
This is so funny to me because we went, you okay. asked me, we went to camp together.
Okay, because, oh, so we're talking about Hume Lake, right?
Yeah.
Like, Hume Lake to me is like the last camp I think of when I think of camps in my brain. Because by the time I went to Hume Lake when I was in seventh grade, I'd been going to 4 camps a year by myself. And so Hume Lake was the only camp I had to pay for. Because I went because my older sister had leukemia. There were 2 different cancer camp organizations that we went to camp to twice a year for, that it was like 3 weekends and a week long camp during the summer that I went. So by the time we went to Hume Lake as a like, and see the difference too, like the camp that we went to together, we were there with our normal friends that we saw during the year up there at camp, where for me, I had camp friends that I only saw them at camp activity. So I would see them twice a year or 4 times a year, and then maybe at the Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
So I related so much to this, like, you're like nervous to see your camp friends again, like, how has it changed and like all that fun stuff. And then when like I finally decided I was done going to camp because I was too involved in high school and other stuff, it was like a weird thing, like, oh, I might never see my camp friends again.
Interesting.
So I related
you
greatly.
Related. I went to camp with my youth group friends, including you.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool, see you next Sunday.
Yeah, I know, right?
So
you got home Saturday, saw him the next day. It,
was it wasn't a real thing. I love camp. It was great, but I think it's very different than this kind of camp, than the Wet Hot American Summer style camp.
Oh yeah. Well, so that
have you seen What Hot in Miami Summer?
I saw the
the movie,
the older one, not the new one, but I saw the old one.
The old, so the movie,
the original. Yeah.
Okay. Then because there's a movie and a TV show.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
But yeah, no, it's that was just something that I related to, that sort of a thing.
That's so funny. Well, you would have wanted a camp buddy. Liz would be your camp buddy.
When I would get excited that the other camp I went to, if those kids also went to like. Because I like went to Camp Ramadan and this other one called OCF, and if like the kid from OCF also went to Camp Ramadan, it was so exciting because I just saw them a month ago, and now you get to like, you kind of have a deeper relationship with them. And so shout out to all my camp buddies.
Sure, they all listen.
They all do. All they listening. All do.
I love this first thing where he comes in with those two photos of him with literally like a color change tie on Photoshop. Yes. And he's like, so
like the one
serious.
On the left.
So the wacky one. Yeah. Is that what he uses? The word wacky?
The blue tie is the wacky one.
Oh my gosh. Such a conservative male thing to say. Mm-hmm. Oh, the blue is quite wacky, isn't it?
So funny.
Oh my goodness. I love it.
I was like, this is the, so he's all nervous. And so, and as of inviting Liz to go, this is the second time, I think it's only the second time that Liz has been his plus one to something. Cause like first it was black tie. And then I was thinking if going to Steve Martin's dinner was kind of his plus one, but Steve Martin's character specifically invited Liz. So it wasn't, that wasn't even really a plus one. I'm like, oh, that I like that Liz is his go-to default
lady.
Plus one.
For these sort of things. I know, don't take Elisa to this retreat to move forward. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
No. I mean, she'd be great, but she would have just like ripped those men apart.
It would have been fantastic.
They deserved it. Man, he should have brought Elisa. No, I love this. The Six Sigmas. What are the six things?
Okay. The Six Sigma things are, wait, I wrote them down.
Oh yeah. Go. And then I want to go.
What do you think they are? Do you remember what any of them were?
One of them was like hair loss or like something. There was one that was really weird.
Okay. We had teamwork,
mm-hmm.
insight, brutality, male enhancement, handshakefulness, and play hard.
Handshakefulness. That's
my,
a quality.
My autocorrect
I
did not like
in.
That word. I had to write it like 9 different times.
I just take a lot of pride in my handshakefulness. I want to go back to the cold open that I forgot.
Yes.
I really love that bit with Liz and Jenna improving.
Oh, my French
no, you don't, Oprah. She breaks every improv rule in that one moment. It's such a funny joke. Someone once, I didn't get that joke until someone explained it to me, and I thought it was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Right.
Also, I love 90s Liz Lemon hair always.
Always.
And then I really love their weird like thumbs up thing they do.
That.
Because it's not true. It's like a weird thing they cooked it. Like it just doesn't fit the show, but I really
that's I'm like, okay, that could have been really funny, but yeah, that's totally not a Jack Liz thing to do, that he played along with this weird little like.
He does that every now and then though. They do make Jack play along, and it's very interesting to me.
So weird. So they're at camp. They're at this retreat to move forward, and Jack's all nervous, and he walks up to the group of the Six Sigmas and is like, men, if I'd known your wives were alone, I'd have stayed in New York. Which
is a great line.
It is it's such a weird thing to
it's
say
it's such
to
a great, but it's such a like a dudes and a business thing to say, which is like your wife. I don't know, it's just so funny the way they all respond too.
It's true. But and that's how, and he walks up and Liz overhears two people saying the finulus data suggests that we should be leveraging disintermediation paradigms, and I'm like, of course Liz is drawn to the nerds. She doesn't know what that means, but she's drawn instantly to them, and I love that.
They're so cute, her little nerdy friends too.
Mm-hmm. Their names were Pashat and Jane or something.
I can't quite remember it. I don't know what I wrote something, and I don't remember why.
Okay, so it shows a list of the workshop schedule. Any chance you stopped and looked at that workshop schedule?
No, what does it say?
So there's like a bunch of random classes, but on that list, you see one of the classes is led by a D. Scardino.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. Which I was laughing because I noticed this, and you pause it, and Tracy Wigfield's name is also up there. And in the AV Club article, they only mentioned D. Scardino.
Ooh, they missed out on Miss Tracy Wigfield, who is super funny.
So Jack then walks in, and he's like, Lemon, we're going to go to lunch now. You're going to be on my team for lunch. And she's all excited and walks in to find that lunch actually means Lego utilization for negating crisis hierarchies. And then afterwards, they're going to go to class, which is consuming lunch and simple socializing.
What a delight.
I love
what
it.
A gosh darn delight. I wrote Liz's yelling is so good. I don't remember why.
Come on, haircut. Like she's yelling.
Oh, when she's yelling at herself. Because they show him, I love that. You're a lion, take what's yours.
Yes.
It's so funny. But then she's yelling at her, why are you sweating, you stupid bitch? Yelling at herself. It's so mean.
It's
and she's
so
like, oh,
good.
I do that too. But hers is all negative, while his is all positive, which is such a funny comment.
Okay, I on wrote yeah, gender. So, yeah, so he's like psyching him. Is it in you? I'm loving it. Which is McDonald's, which is funny because it's continuing on with like McFlurry stuff, right?
Yeah, but they clearly got more money from McDonald's,
right? But I wrote that when because he does this twice in the episode where he's yelling at himself in the mirror, and I wrote that it's just like that scene in Cool Runnings where he's like, "You have pride and power. You're a badass mother who won't take no crap off of no one once again." Do you not know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't remember the scene specifically, but I've seen Cool Runnings many times.
It's such a good scene. It's when they're in the bathroom at the bar and he's like, "Come on, Junior, what you got?" Like, and he's like psyching him up. He's like, "You got pride, power. And like, he's like yelling. It's such a good, that's, it reminds me of that every single time of Jack like psyching himself up. And
that's interesting
because it's such, it's a turning point in the
Cool
show.
Runnings in a long time.
You should be watching that at least once every 6 months. I'm just saying.
that's a lot, but I'm open to it,
especially when I had a Disneyland pass, because you can't go on the Matterhorn and not sing some people. You got no Jamaica, you have a bobsled team. You have to sing that on the Matterhorn.
Oh, I haven't that's thought about this movie so long. I just don't kiss my egg.
Kiss the lucky egg, man. Sanka, you're dead.
That movie. It was on the Disney Channel so much.
Sanka, you can pee now. Too late. Oh, I'm watching that tonight. It's been like probably 5 months. I love that movie. So Liz, they're building a train, and the thing that's happening is like, so Jack is helping lead this team, and Liz is being very Liz with Jack, and according to one of the Six Sigmas, that the behavior was inappropriate because it was showing familiarity and nicknamification. Such a good word.
Ah, you Jag.
Yes. And then she breaks their Lego thing. Sorry, I broke it while I was pretending my penis.
Robot penis.
So,
which is so funny.
Oh, so freaking great.
She's just so good at being such a weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I mean, it's funny. So he gets upset. It's talked to her. Look, she was acting super inappropriately.
Oh, totally.
She kind of
totally
lashes out at him a little bit. But I like it. Both of them are being a little bit sensitive. He's a little nervous and insecure. Mm-hmm. She's a little brash and a little insecure about herself to the extent where she gets mad when he challenges her.
Yeah.
And she should have realized that he's in front of all these people.
You know, is this isn't the first time this has happened, because has it happened yet? When he's showing the tour to the potential investors,
or something,
when
he shouts at her?
Yeah. And she's like eating pizza, like, but those Jags from wherever, like, And she gets
the
so
word
hurt.
Jack gets her in trouble all
right?
the time.
It like she's so hurt when Jack is like, "No, I'm your boss now," and like that's not a fun card to have to pull, but like that's what you have to pull when you're a boss sometimes. And she just doesn't understand that, because. But what's funny is she gets mad when Jack has to pull that, but she knows how hard that is because she hates when she has to do that to her team. Like she should. The synergy there, the whatever it is, like she should understand it. I feel like, and I think in the moment she's just caught up in it or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But so she's all mad at him, and then at the table Jack invites her to come and eat with him at their table, and she's like, "Oh no, and her little nerdy buddies are confused why she would say no. She's like, "You're my real friends." And then they hear over the speaker that Jack is doing his psych up speech in
all right.
the bathroom.
Do you think that was an extra they hired, or do you think they just had the sound guy read a line? What do you think?
Oh, the like
the
you,
guy
sir?
Was like, "Sir, sir, here, I'm gonna put your mic, like, can I?"
Oh, I bet it's one of the writers or something.
My money is that they just get to like, "Hey, sound guy, can you do this real quick?" He just looked like a sound guy to me. That's I just was like, sound guy.
Oh, funny.
I don't know. I could be totally wrong. Like, why would they do that? That's probably a lot of work, getting that guy like paid and everything. But I was just like, that guy looks like a real sound guy.
Thanks for bringing. I didn't even think about this until now. Like, they had to do that little point to prove like why would he have forgotten to turn off the mic ahead of time, because it was his first day and he was nervous, and because of all my undercover boss watching recently, like that's an excuse they use a lot on the show, like, "Oh, it's my first day." Their training on that is horrible, but anyways. Yeah, but so they're overhearing it and they're all excited, and Liz real quickly goes back and's like, "Okay, Jack is my friend," even he was being a Jag at one point, and runs. I just love how she just runs in and she covers the mic and she's gonna figure out a way, and Jack looks like he's dead on the floor when he realizes
he goes down. He's like a heart attack.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh, what if they had played
into
a heart attack?
Over the thing and it looks like it's a heart attack almost.
And Liz gets out on the stage and just takes one for Jack.
She is so wonderful at that. Just her, like, "Oh, that's my Jack Donaghy impression."
What? Sling Blade? Like, they're just,
oh, I love these. And then Mrs. Cunningham. Oh, Howard. Oh, Richie.
And I just, the look that Jack has on his face when he sees Liz doing that for him is just like, heart swelling, like, oh my goodness, like, just, there's so much, such good love.
Friends.
I love it.
And then I love, like, her trying to interview that guy, like, you, sir, what's been your favorite? And the way she's smiling at the odd, like, she's, yeah, it's just, you see all her second city, like, touring days, like, on her face
instantly.
And then, but yeah, then I love the escalation where she's like, oh, what's the best part of Jack Donaghy? Da, da, da. Like, what about this? Rip shirt open, dancing in bra. Uh-huh. Bow, 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 bow. It's so bad. But this probably just something I want to talk about, which is like the female. Oh my God, everyone's going to hate me. I'm still talking. The female body is a source of comedy, mm-hmm, which is a really rare thing. Honestly, in movies, particularly any nudity, often with women, the female body is usually a source of sexuality,
right,
or vulnerability.
Okay.
And I really love this because you haven't watched Broad City, right?
No, I've watched all of it.
You watched all of it? Mm-hmm. I forgot. We did talk about that.
Yeah.
That show is incredible at this exact same thing, mm-hmm, where Abby and Alana are so good at being naked for scenes and it's not sexual. Yeah. I mean, they're hot. They're both super hot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's not sexual. It's just super funny.
Yeah.
They blur it. And I love it because I think it's just something you don't see. Men have always used nudity. It's always been a thing in like movies and stuff for male nudity to be like, mm-hmm, a source of comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's really rarely used for women because it's trickier. There's a lot more associated with like with female nudity.
Yeah,
but they do such a good job on Broad City and in this, where she's in like, they choose like a weird bra. Great News did this too. The Tracy Wigfield's character always wears this weird bra, goes topless at one point. And it's, she wears this very funny bra. Sue too, like they use these, mm-hmm, they choose these funny bras, and there's this very beautiful woman is somehow able to take this kind of like moment, which could be like sexy, and yeah, she makes, yeah, it, yeah, super funny and not sexual, mm-hmm, and I love it. I think it's so funny.
It's a good, I like it a lot.
That was my spiel I wanted to give.
Nice. I don't think anyone should hate you for that. That was,
I mean, maybe they'll hate me. I'm sure they're just like, not again. But I just think it's a really cool thing to see, and I think it's newer. I mean, I just can't think of any, honestly, examples. I can't think of a lot of examples other than maybe some Mary Tyler Moore stuff. Like,
maybe.
Which, God bless her, the godmother to all female comedy, but still.
For all we know, those were
godmother,
like,
grandmother, whatever.
Godmother, the fairy godmother.
just the predecessor.
Oh, man. But yeah, that kind of ends that episode. It just ends with him back in Jack's office and him being like, thanks for doing that. You're right. Nobody talked about me. It was about, they all kept asking me if I was there when the crazy lady like was dancing in her bra or whatever. And
I love how unashamed she is too. She's not at all bothered. She's like, yep.
No, she goes, the doy.
Like, she just doesn't care. And I love that. Like, I want to be, this is cheesy, but I wish I was that brave where I feel like I could just put myself out there sometimes and not be super, like, that just hits me as such an embarrassing situation. And she like, and she shouldn't. She just does not care. Yeah. No one cares. I also love that she's like, I'm Liz Lemon from the entertainment division.
Right.
Like, she starts using, or the entertainment sector, whichever it is. It's so funny.
It's so great. The one thing I like, the AV Club article for this episode, I like that they called Liz at one point a barracuda in geek chic glasses. I love that description of Liz.
She is very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, those AV guys.
Right. Sometimes I love it. Sometimes I hate it. And mm-hmm, I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Any favorite lines from this episode?
I mean, I think it's probably that go-kart accident. I shouldn't have said it earlier, but it's that go-kart accidents line. Because I've watched too many people die from diabetes and go-kart accidents to stand aside. Oh, I just, La South is such a funny place.
It's fantastic. I had two favorite. One of them, there was just something about the way when Pasha or whatever his name is, he just says, oh, my wrongness, and there's something funny about that to me. But then I let the Jack at one point, I'm pretty sure it was Jack, he's yelling about it, and he's like, so he's like, and I get the second half of a Judy Blume novel, and I just think that's
what was the context?
He goes, and I get the second half of a Judy Blume novel. I think when he's talking about his relationship with Liz, like professionalism, blah, blah, and I get the second half of a Judy Blume novel.
I've never read a Judy Blume novel, so I don't fully get it. But
you've never, oh my, you didn't read it when you were in elementary school?
I read Beverly Cleary, I think, who wrote Ramona.
Same sort of a thing. Like,
that's what I figured. Yeah. I have watched the video of Will Arnett saying, "Dear God, it's me, Margaret."
Oh, right.
I'm getting a bra today. Like, him reading it is so, I think it was on Letterman or something. It's so perfect.
I'm getting a bra today.
It's him reading it, and he does it in his voice. God, that voice.
Oh, I love it.
It's his Lego Batman voice.
Oh, man. I think that does it for this episode.
I think we nailed this episode.
I think so, too.
It's a fun one. I like this one very much. Good job, Buscemi.
Right, well done,
and
sir.
Tammy, and God bless Tammy Sagar. She's, I haven't seen what she's in. I don't have my phone, so I can't check, but she's got to have some stuff coming up. Don't Think Twice, I think was really great.
Mm-hmm.
I think got her more attention as like more than just a writer. Because she's so funny.
Yeah.
She was also in that really great Amy Schumer thing with Lin-Manuel Miranda when Amy did on Inside Amy Schumer. Do you remember that? When she brought in Lin-Manuel Miranda to pitch her Betsy Ross musical. And Tammy Sagar like busts in to tell him how much she loves him.
I did not know. Oh, that's Don Scardino. I was looking at movies. I was trying to see what other things Steve Buscemi had done. And I accidentally clicked on Don Scardino. And I was like, wow, he's done a lot. Like, oh, wrong one.
Yeah, what else has Steve Buscemi directed? His relationship with this show cracks me up. You know what? Steve Buscemi in general cracks me up. Have you ever seen his incredible sketch he did on Portlandia?
No.
Oh, my God. It's the best. It's a 10-minute sketch, basically, about... there's like a board meeting with all the people who do all the marketing for fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
And Carrie Brown seems like this crazy exec, and she's like, Brussels sprouts, you're doing great. Corn, having a comeback. Celery. And he represents like, what is going on? And it's him trying to give edge to celery.
Aww.
And because some fruits and vegetables get so popular over seasons, he's trying to make celery popular and it's not going. And it turns into this whole noir intrigue, and it's so effing funny.
Okay. So Steve Buscemi has done one other episode of 30 Rock directing it. You want to take a guess in the wide spectrum of all 30 Rock episodes?
Queen of Jordan.
Leap Day.
Leap Day William.
Yep, he does Leap
Day
William.
He does great episodes.
And then he also did one episode of Kimmy Schmidt. Kimmy goes to a hotel in season 2, episode
8. That's a weird episode. That's a really weird episode.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh,
he did 6 episodes of Nurse Jackie. I've never thought of him as a director. That's kind of cool. He did 2 episodes of Oz. 4 episodes of The Sopranos.
So all the New York-based TV shows.
Yeah, basically. All right. I think that wraps it up.
I think we did it.
Cool. You can find me places at Redheaded Blonde.
I was waiting for you to say more than you didn't. I'm
Instagram, Twitter, at Redheaded Blonde.
All those places. I'm at Kimchi Lucas. I don't know when this comes out, so come see a show at the Nerd Melt and come to Radio Picture Show, second Wednesday of every month. And, you know, go see romantic comedy at the Rip Bodice, third Thursday of the month. Our friend of the show, Jenny Chilikian, is doing amazing work over there, and it's a dope show, so everyone should go do it.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then you can find us, our podcast places, at Talk 30 Rock to Me on Instagram and on Twitter. Email talk30rocktome@gmail.com. Love, subscribe, write,
love,
tweet.
Just love.
Tell a friend about us, all that good stuff.
Katrina Longworth. Yeah, Katrina Longworth from You Must Remember This always says, tell anyone you know any way you can.
Aww.
And I'm always like, that's a nice way to say that, but also like not specific.
I like it. Do what you know you need to do.
Yeah. She also says it in that tone of voice. She's got a great voice. All right. Thank you for listening.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.